Aloha. My name is Bruce Hivahivo'u. I am 56 years old. This is almost Christmas, December
22nd,
2023.
We're in Wailuku.
And we're in Wailuku, Maui.
My name is Nohelani Uuhajins. I am 37. Today's date is December 23rd. And we are in Wailuku. I'll begin, Dad. So, can you share with us how and when you first became involved with Hawaiian Canoe Club and what inspired you to join?
How I got involved with Hawaiian Canoe Club and what made me join? Well, I met a girl in high school. Her name was Kathy Uu, and I thought she was the hottest chick in high school. And she encouraged me and my best friend, Henry Kahula, who recently passed, which is a bummer.
I know. Well, I think at that time she was Kathy Johnson.
She's now Kathy Uu. So that inspired me to follow my soon, well, my girlfriend at the time, and that was the inspiration. And I leaned to my two good friends, Henry Kahula and Rodrigo Caba. All of us is from Paia, to join Hawaiian Canoe Club, because the girl who I thought was the hottest in school was paddling, and she asked me to paddle. And my first day of practice had Auntie Vivian, who's now an official there, showing us how to paddle. And I'll never forget this, because I jumped in the canoe. I was in seat five, and my girlfriend at the time, newly girlfriend, Kathy Johnson at the time, was stroking, and she was paddling like a aggressive man,
and I was thinking,
holy shit, huh? Like just hammering, and I'm thinking, this is the girl. Yes, this is the girl. And that's my first introduction to any type of canoe paddling, but that is my introduction to Hawaiian canoe paddling. So I'd have to thank my wife now, who will be making 37 years of marriage next month, that it kind of started pre-kids, in our teenage days. Mind you, I was 16 years old at the time.
Oh, wow.
So, and I was at the Old Holly, and that was my introduction to outrigger canoe paddling.
So I don't know if you remember, but I was in the 7th grade, and somebody had asked me to paddle. And he paddled for Kihei Canoe Club. So I came home and I said, Dad, I want to paddle. My friends paddle for Kihei Canoe Club. Do you mind if I paddle there? And he said, well, a couple things. One, I'd love it if you were to paddle. And two, absolutely not to Kihei. No offense to them. If you're going to paddle, here's where we paddle. We lead blue. And I remember going down, and I didn't know anybody, and I only knew that like a couple friends who paddled for Kihei. So I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be awkward. And I could watch you and Mom, because you guys took me down there, like, be at home. And I was like, oh, okay, you guys know people here. I might not know anybody here, but you guys know people here. That's when I met Kauhane for the first time. And you're like, he's going to be your coach, which, whew, we could get into a whole hour's worth of conversation about Kauhane. But that was my first time going to Hawaiian Canoe Club and watching you and Mom go back after I wanted to paddle, and then having all the boys paddle, and then it restarted when I was in the 7th grade, all you guys and all of us paddling, and then it kind of sparked the re-involvement.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And to say what you said, when I think of Hawaiian Canoe Club, I think of two phases with an interim. And the first phase was me and Mom young without kids.
Yeah. Right?
And I don't know if the question's in here. And I remember, and we've been from Paia. Paia was a little bit different at the time. You know, drug use, low-income family. Hawaiian Canoe Club at the time, of my age of 16, 17, 18, paddling, I always had a family structure to a certain degree, but we had a single mom. But Hawaiian Canoe Club gave me that structure outside of family, that I think helped me make certain decisions in life that continues to today. So, and those figures are Auntie Danny.
Yeah.
Auntie Danny would say, we had no money. She would pay for flights to go to competition in Big Island when we were in high school, right out of high school. And they had the belief in us that we could do well.
For you and Mom?
For me and Mom. Mm. So nobody did that outside our family for us.
Mm.
And that belief that you can, you know. I think that's my first goal setting came from Colonel Palin, actually.
Interesting.
So, yeah, habit forming, right? And again, pre-kids.
Right.
And so I think that led to the direction of a part of my life at the time, for me and Mom anyway. Again, pre-kids. We could lean on adults who gave us hope and faith and structure outside of our immediate family.
So you, earlier you mentioned Auntie Vivian, which I don't think I know who that is, but I know Auntie Danny. Kahane was important for me at the club. Is there anybody else who's important for you at that club?
Not, you know, Uncle Chacha was very important to me.
Oh, yeah. Uncle Chacha.
Mr. Lake, Benny Lake, you know, the Souzas, Dana Souza. You know, a lot of people, Marco Kawaiya, Emilia. Brown.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people, you know, that we were close, whether it was our teenage years to our adult years. And I think that's one of the main factors where I think I owe Hawaiian Kung Club for being that involved in our lives, mine and yours.
Yep.
So that it gives us that responsibility that we've got to give back to the club. Mm-hmm. So that's part of being on the board when you asked earlier. I've been on the board for at least 10 years.
Yeah.
At minimum, and we don't count because life is a blink of an eye, but I think I owe it, you know. It's not, we want to give back. I would say we don't owe. It's a kuleana, which is the privilege part. So
I agree that throughout paddling, and we've been doing it for a long time, you longer than I, but because it requires so much interaction throughout the entire summer, and then I paddled for school and club, so I was with the same people for 10 months out of the year. You make lifelong friendships, and I never did long distance, but I can only assume that there's some sort of trauma bond that goes on when you have to push yourself to limits that I don't think most people maybe want to do. So you definitely, I think, make lifetime, long-term friendships.
You don't know. I think you hit him on the mark. And I think Lopaka can talk about that. I think when you do distance racing or any inter-island racing, we paddled back from Big Island a few times, Big Island to Maui, and we made those treks. I think you go back to couple things. You go back to gatherers and hunters where there's no titles. You're not a doctor. Auntie Danny's not an attorney. Every title is stripped. So you all become just human, right? It's more of who got the sack, who not, who panics, who doesn't, who stays calm. And again, that bond you get between the people in your boat is, that determines how well you do or not, or if you survive or not. I remember coming back from Big Island my first time. I think it was like 70 miles. And we land in Makena, tired, hungry, tired, wanting shade. And I'm telling myself, how did our ancestors paddle from Big Island and want to fight or hike anybody?
Right?
Like, this is nuts.
Yeah.
I want peace.
Food.
I want food. And I want shade. So that was an awakening for me. Like, my God, how did they do this? And how you want to fight? I would wave the white flag.
Right.
So that part, right? And when you say that like trauma, the trauma. I think that trauma builds people.
Yeah.
And I think it's lacking in our world sometimes. My personal belief.
Yeah.
You need the trauma. You need the hardships. You need the bad conditions to not break you. The hardships that can make you harder, to make you calmer when hard times come up. And
I think that's a good point because, I mean, we've been paddling with Hawaiian Canoe Club, and that's the only club I've ever paddled for, and I think same with you. But, you know, Kauhana used to always give us this speech, like, you're going to walk around with this shirt. It's a target on your back, you know. And before you go into state races, you're like, oh, ha, that's kind of silly. And then as you get into it, you hear other rumors that, you know, like our kids are older or, you know, we put Vaseline on the canoes, all kinds of silly tricks. But I think when it comes down to it, what you just said is important in that the harbor has some of the worst conditions. And you paddle in that harbor and you train in that harbor all day long. And of course, Kauhana is such a strict coach. You practice 10 times harder than you race. And you race in Lahaina waters, which is a lot calmer than harbor waters, and it's easy. I mean, not that I think everybody should push their points all the time, but it does give you know, a different perspective. And then, you know, throw a tire or throw an adult on the front of your canoe dragging your legs as you're 12 trying to paddle, and then do a quarter mile in Lahaina. It's a lot easier than 2 hours of somebody dragging feet on your boat. To your point, yeah. Hard times make strong people.
Yeah, and to what you're saying about the kids program and the huge success.
Yeah.
Right? Adults, we're not as good as the kids, right? We never was, never will be, and that's fine. And that's, we all understand that, but that's, yeah. I think that's the best thing about Hawaiian Canoe Club, though. It's not about adults.
Yeah, we have a thriving keiki program.
Right, and that's what the emphasis is on. But and watching our kids, you guys paddle at 12, and Kaio and Koa paddle, you guys had no idea what second or third place was like.
I know.
Every race you guys thought you was going to win. And anywhere.
I know.
And I was just thinking, like, wow, these guys are confident. Because you guys didn't know any better.
Yeah.
Or maybe because you didn't have that block that we cannot.
Yeah.
Right? You know that when you remove the ceiling.
We also had one of the best coaches in
right.
the state.
And that helps you remove the ceiling to be hyper-competitive.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's no ceiling, right?
No.
Because nobody said you cannot. And again, go back to the encouraging words I had when I was young. There is no ceiling.
So do you remember any specific race or competition that stands out for you? I have a couple, but I want to hear what yours is.
My specific race, or what's this, race?
A competition. That, and why did it? Why is it so memorable for you?
You know, honestly, for me, it's not the race or competition that was the highlights. I was practicing the camaraderie with people, and everybody get their own. I think it's the process until getting to that point. That's the biggest point. But if I would have to select a race, it would be a Lahaina state race, mixed 40.
And why?
Why? You know, obviously, we won first place. That's one.
Mm-hmm.
But two things. Oh, that wasn't a race, though. So we won the race by big margin. We took first by like 13 seconds in a half mile race.
Mm-hmm.
The boat felt fast.
Mm-hmm. Were you in the Pahilikyu?
Pahilikyu. And I just thought that we got off the line. And I think, you know, in sync, six people are in sync. And at times at practice, you can feel when you're in sync, and sometimes you're not. And so it can be hit and miss. Could be the boat, could be the conditions, could be the lane, could be the people, could be the belief or the disbelief.
Mm-hmm.
Within your boat, but mm-hmm. for that one race, everything lined up, and you know,
stars aligned.
We crushed mm-hmm. that race. We crushed for state. So if most competitive, best race, that definitely be George Dagan, Rory Framte, myself, Teresa Guerry, Trez, and my wife. So I think even better.
Oh, that's awesome.
Me and my better half.
So when, one, I remember when the Pahiliku was being shaped. I remember getting the log from behind the mountain. Everybody going up there, bringing it down, soaking it in the harbor, and then watching Fafa. Was it Fafa?
Fafa.
Yeah, carve the canoe for months. And then I was actually in that crew that paddled it for the very first states.
Wow.
Because I was 14, 16, whenever you do the first half mile, and this is back in the day when they had the kids go first and the girls race before the boys. And I was the first person to steer that canoe in a state race.
Wow.
You were holding my boat. We're in Hanalei. And we were going into the turn and we were in fourth. We took the turn and came out third, and I think pushed our way into second. That was a huge race. Not only did we come from behind, but it was the very first time that canoe hit the water for a state race, and I was the one who steered it.
So I remember that day, mm-hmm. like it was yesterday.
Yeah. I think 16 maybe.
Yeah. So Pahiliku, we got it right. We cured it. Mm-hmm. It was a club thing, right? And when we took it to Hanalei.
Yeah, that was the first time.
Our yakus and our amas was missing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we had to borrow yaku and amas. The yakus and ama. So we were almost frantically rigging the canoe the day before, trying to figure out the right balance and mm-hmm. how we would have to wedge to keep the ama light but safe at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that threw us a curve, mm-hmm. right? Pre-race, day before, nobody could find it, borrowed the yaku, the ama. And so I remember was playing with it, wedging. It was Kalhani, was the mastermind behind that, right? And I said it once before. Now we maintain. I'm one of the people in charge of maintaining the koa canoes currently for the last 10 years. I remember, and part of me agreeing to be that was one, I was an ass, but two, because this was the moment. This is the moment where they said, okay, four adults go in the canoe and paddle.
Mm-hmm.
Check the balance.
Mm-hmm.
The canoe was flying.
Yeah, that canoe glides.
Flying. Mm-hmm. That day, on that day with that rigging, though,
mm-hmm.
to the point where it was so amazing, I told no one. Because
mm-hmm.
you jinx it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, is this real? Pop, pop. Couple strokes to the left, to the right. I'm thinking, oh my God, we are flying.
Mm-hmm.
Flying. Mm-hmm. I mean, with four people. Like, oh my God, okay, don't say anything. Don't jinx it. Put it back.
Yeah.
We held your race.
I know.
Was me and Marco. Kawaiya. Passed. I think we hold the first 12 races.
Mm-hmm.
Or 13 races.
Mm-hmm.
I think we won the first 8 races.
Mm-hmm. In the Kokololio. All the quarter miles, yep.
All the quarter miles.
Yeah.
I just remember that day, the loudest, so the most memorable moment that can coincide with my most memorable moment, a lot of memorable moments, me and Marco Kwaia holding boats, Hanalei Bay,
mm-hmm.
and all we can hear is Emu Hawaiian erupting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
It was an eruption.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a day that was. But all started with Pahiliku. Yep. Started Kokololio with the Pahiliku with you guys and mm-hmm. the culmination of the koa canoe.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, you know, there's some hidden, again, meanings behind some of it. And, you know, I always felt like if you would have talked about it, would have jinxed it. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's almost like the canoe said, you guys are panicking for no reason. No, seriously. Like,
yeah.
Bro, we get this. Like, mm-hmm. it's beyond you. It's beyond you guys rigging.
Yeah.
It's beyond the panic that that created, you know, the uneasiness of not having the normal. And it's like the Pahiliku was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Hawaiians, we get them, bro.
It's interesting that we're having this conversation today because on Monday, I had to go to my old high school and I talked to the honor civics class about, you know, my job now. But I'm sitting down in the gym and we're facing all the banners that Kekaulike has won for MIL champs, state champs. The state champs are teal, MIL champs are black. And you can tell when Kauhane was the paddling coach for Kekaulike because it goes paddling, 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 and then it stops. Then he moves to Seabury. But I was in that crew, as you remember, because he held my boat, that won the first state champion, state championship for Kekaulike. And no different than yours, mine was also a mixed race, quarter mile, Pahilikyu. And you know, it was MIL champs that year as well, but I think we won by about the same length, quite a distance. But I didn't obviously say this to the kids. I did say that, you know, that was the first state champion. But what I remember about that race is they put you in those pens, you know, at
the chutes.
And you and Uncle Yokepa held our boat. I think you were at the nose and he was at the back. So where I was. And he didn't tell me this till later, but I was one of the only female steersmen in a bunch of male steersmen. And one of the other boat holders was telling the boy, "You better not lose to this girl. You better not lose to this girl." Mm-hmm. And Uncle Yokef was like, all right, let's go, you know. And I will say, you probably held my boat in, I want to say every single race, but to be fair, maybe 99% of all the races for majority of the kids. And I mean, not just mine, but majority of the kids. But I remember coming back after the turn and watching you and Uncle Yokepa like full on splashed water. I was like, holy shit, there's nobody around us right now. Like, yeah, guys, let's go. And it was, that also was a super memorable race.
Yeah.
What's good times?
I remember the guy yelling, the boat holder, "Don't let the girl beat you."
Yeah. Yeah. I remember coming into shore, Kauhane, you know, I don't know how much we can be honest on this interview, but he was like, You fucker, we fucking did it. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God. We won. This was, I think, the first or second year. Paddling was as a recognized sport,
right.
For the entire state, for a high school sport. So it was just starting. And Kekaulike was a brand new school. This was a huge deal. I was a senior, one of my last races, and watching him be stoked. And then, you know, it all kind of hits you like 10 minutes afterwards, like, oh shit, all right. And I'm going, Kip was like, I was like, all right, Uncle, me too then.
Yeah, we was yelling our own verbals in the water.
No, that was...
We'll keep it to ourselves, always said. But it was an unfair game. And I guess, you know, the competitive spirits from all the clubs. But
I think you holding the front, Kekupa'a was my stroker.
Right.
And that's obviously Uncle Yokepa's son. He's holding the back.
Right.
I'm obviously your daughter. And it's just like a pairing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that was. When I talked about favorite races and, you know, it was the in-betweens, was the holding the boats of, you know, was all of that, right? The swimming between canoes and, you know, hyping up the kids, because we understand that. I always believe that as a boat holder, you give them the best advantage by lining them up correctly and understanding the currents and how to hold them and, but you never be negative at the line.
No.
Right. No. I could hear other boat holders be negative. What are you guys doing?
Yeah.
You know, you guys gotta do this. Like, okay. They're not gonna win.
Yeah. That's they're out. How you start a race.
They didn't work for that club right now. Mm-hmm. Right. So I knew what not to do.
Yeah.
As a boat holder.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I could see guys 10 feet behind the line thinking like, dude, the line's here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so the technique of holding a boat at a certain angle in certain wind conditions, spinning it prior to timing out a flag were critical, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And then having that positive influence.
It really does take, I think, a certain mastery of the waters that I think probably goes unappreciated. And for you and Uncle Yokepa doing it for so long, I think you kind of mastered that situation. But I don't think I've ever went to a regatta where I didn't see 15 numbers on your forearm about, you know, what lane every kid was in, and you guys would just meet us there. Mm-hmm. But I think it does require some sort of mastery of the water and the race and the conditions, and not just anybody can hold your boat.
Yeah, I remember holding you guys boat in Australia.
Yeah.
I was the only boat holder out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was rough.
Rough.
And only had me.
Rough waters.
I remember Brian, the lifeguard's fins, and he said I was nuts. He said, no, it's salty in the water, just like home, I told him.
Yeah, a little bit more great whites.
Right. And there was nobody else, not outrigger, not mm-hmm. no one. I'm like, bro, it's the same. Mm-hmm. You know, and nobody could get that part, I thought.
I think too, like as we were talking about trauma bonding and building those lifetime friendships, but you do all of that, and yeah, a lot of things are traumatic, but you have those wins, those good experiences, those trips, those travels, those cocktails after the win and race, and then you get to experience the entire gamut of emotions, you know? Mm-hmm. You happy, you sad, you cry, you win, you all the tears. Mm-hmm. I think those are really what makes Hawaiian Canoe Club, and I give credit to all the other canoe clubs, but you know, our favorite is Hawaiian, so.
Is there any other clubs?
Not if you like to win.
No, it's the cultural part, and it's always been that, right? So it is. Yeah, that's why we went to Palin, right? Because you asked, so I think you asked at a perfect time, right? Because even though me and Mom stopped Palin, we had kids, right? And again, that steered us in the right direction.
Yeah.
And when you asked to paddle, we was playing koi volleyball, me and Mom. Mm. And it was fun, don't get me wrong, but not physical, as much as physical as you want it to be. Mm-hmm. But Hawaiian Canoe Club was we all could get involved.
Yeah.
Every one of us, mm-hmm. right? Everybody could paddle, everyone could participate, right? There were, I think that's the difference when we went back. That the second half of paddling was more of a family.
Yeah.
Instead of, when me and Mom was there, first was the, you know, getting to know Mom and, you know, knowing that's the right one, you know, getting married and take that break and build a house, right?
And
build a foundation.
Back with kids.
But we always followed Hawaiian Canoe Club mm-hmm. in every newspaper. I would always read, who won?
Yeah,
all the states. So it's never lost of us tracking them. Mm-hmm. So it's perfect timing. I said, okay, you go back. And remember the one year I didn't medal?
How could I forget? That was hilarious. So we, as a family, paddled my two younger brothers, myself, my mom, my dad. We all medaled in states, whether it was first, second, third, except my dad. And it was hilarious. I think he was trying to tell us something to do at the dinner table. And I was like, easy there, non-meddler. You don't get to participate in this. Maybe that's why the next time you won, it was even that sweet. It was sweeter than the last.
I remember at the dinner table, he said, Excuse me? Can you be speaking? You're a non-meddlist. You're the only non-meddlist in this family. I'm like, really? I just pay for your trip. To Kauai.
Maybe that was it.
So the next year was Pahilikiu, I think. Mm. In Kauai, I remember the next one. The next state regatta. We're in lane 9 for mixed race. I think it might have been Big Island. And pressure's on, right? Because I don't want to be a non-medalist again.
Nope,
so everybody knows that I'm a non-medalist the year before. And so you guys all medaled again.
We were kids.
Yeah. Well, even Mom medaled like twice. Mm. And I go into the race, and everybody, bro, you better not lose. We'll be on scrub.
No pressure.
I want to eat dinner at the head of the table. And we put it off. We took second in 89. So that was, if I have to say, that might be one of my sweetest
comeback moments.
Yeah, I mean, we never win, but, you know, game was on the line.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Game was on the line. We needed that points to secure a win because it was at the end. I got my medal so I could walk out of there smiling, not head down and
right.
be traumatized again. Traumatized. When your hands traumatized at the dinner table by the family. So that was good. But
I think paddling for not just us but our household has definitely been not just a cultural but just such a great experience for all of us. Not beyond the friendships, you know, like you were just talking about Australia. I went to Australia, Tahiti to paddle. Right. I think paddling took us to all the islands, including Kaho'olawe. Mm-hmm. You know, Lana'i, we paddled to Lana'i and Kaho'olawe as kids. And sometimes I think just recently when I went back for a year or so as an adult, we watched it with the entire regatta stops. I think they're launching from Lahaina to Lana'i. And as an adult, I look at the kids doing that and I think, oh my gosh, these are 12, 14, oh, they're 16 years old. Mm-hmm. You have one, two small escort boats and you're paddling this entire channel. Mm-hmm. But as a kid, you don't, that's just what we're doing after we race. This is what we're doing and bring all your things, put it in trash bags. And you watch the little kids go, you're like, wow, good for you. What an amazing experience. How many people can say they paddled? You know what I mean? Not just throughout the races where you remember coming from Big Island to here thinking, why would anybody want to fight? Mm-hmm. From Maui to Lana'i, and you just look at that, you know, relatively distant island, and you're just like, okay, 12-year-olds are going to paddle over there. Right on. Good for you. It gives you a inner strength for sure.
And this is where we're at now, right? The combination of a growth of a canoe club. Mm-hmm. So when I was young, when I was in high school, you didn't have that. It was a sporting event, but cultural, yeah, but not to the point where it's now. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think we gotta owe that to Kauhani.
Yeah,
I think he's the guy that created that bonding cultural, your chants, everything to do it being Hawaiian. He puts the Hawaiian in Kauhani Canoe Club. Mm-hmm. Was a canoe club. We did an emo for ourselves, Hawaiian. We drink plenty, mm-hmm. right? Now you get Kauhani who comes around and teach you the chant, the culture, Ko'olawe, paddling, outer islands. Mm-hmm. So building a new club on the other part, the cultural part, right? Well, it mm-hmm. grew, the club changed the location. Mm-hmm. We just got a 50-year lease mm-hmm. of the club, which is huge for us. So it's out of our hands now. Mm-hmm. That's part of being a board member was we got the 50-year lease through council, pre-US council, and mm-hmm. people said it couldn't be done, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think a Hawaiian Canoe Club has demonstrated longevity deserve a 50-year lease.
But the beauty is, I'll be dead when the next generation will have to take over the leasehold.
I'll be 87.
Right. So it's good to know that. Yeah. That's part of the giving back.
Yeah, the legacy yeah. beyond
we, you. We got grants to build a weight room.
Yep.
We had grants to build the one-man storage. Mm-hmm. That was perfectly timed to build because now we have the revenue to sustain our club during COVID. Because mm-hmm. the club barely makes any money on dues.
Yeah.
So you couldn't have be more befitting to have that done pre-COVID, to have the one-man storage space to on the board side to help carry the financing and
yeah,
and take the burden off of the board members and the fundraisers to not go scrambling on how you can keep the canoe club afloat.
So your my version of Auntie Diane was Kauhane for me. I think there are certain sayings that he's always said that still stick with me to this day. You know, and sometimes I can use them as a mantra because they're somewhat inspiring, you know, like a couple fuck yous never hurt anybody. You know, sometimes we all need to hear those things, you know, internalize those thoughts. Not always have to say them, but, you know, I think too, you know, I was raised relatively similar, but if you walk past a piece of trash without picking it up and he saw you walk past that piece of trash without picking it up, you know, now you're going to pick that up and you're going to run laps. And if you do that again, now everybody is running laps. So he always abided by this collective.
This the Hawaiian, and again, and one other part that he bought, and yeah, you're right though, was who I failed to mention was Auntie Mary.
Oh yeah,
she was instrumental. She was very instrumental. But you're right, because that part he upped his game. Like he took on Hawaiian culture, family structure, home. Like if you had it at home, and brought him to the club. Right. And so now you get the kuleana of you, the eldest now, right? So you can be chaperoning the kids. You in charge, right? Kind of old school, but you know.
But I think that family structure you're kind of mentioning.
Yeah. And you know, some, if you're not used to it now, might get some pushback.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah,
but it gave you the thick skin sometimes you needed to.
I think it's go needed. Through life. Again, you remember the adversity we talk about.
Yeah.
Right, paddling the channel, right? Again, stripping of all the titles, right? So
same thing. I think we've probably reached our time, but this is interesting. I didn't even know mom was the reason why you paddled, and I think it's funny. That's how important paddling can be when a non-Hawaiian from Kula asks a Hawaiian, two Hawaiians living in Paia, to paddle. That's how important sometimes paddling can be.
Yeah, yeah. And mom came from the Kaiwalo.
Yeah.
First. We went to Hawaii. Yeah, so we ought to, I guess we gotta thank your mom.
Right?
Tutu today.
Well, this has been good. Thank you.
Okay, no hey.
Thanks.
Have a good day. You too. Today. Oof.
Good job.
I really didn't even know my mom had asked about it. I think I knew, but I didn't know.
Yeah, you know, I guess that's why you need this sometimes.